Good evening and welcome to Word on Wine, a program which explores the history and culture of the world's favorite beverage. I'm Jonathan Pilewski. Joining me to talk about some more myths about wine is WBJC's Mary Zajac. Good evening, Mary.
Good evening, Jonathan.
What do you got?
Right, we've been sort of doing pairings, so I'll start with this one. New World wines are opulent and Old World wines are subtle.
That's sometimes true, but there are a lot of opulent wines in Spain. I would call some of the fabulous Syrahs in the Northern Rhone pretty opulent.
I'd say Super Tuscans.
Super Tuscans. Ooh, molto opulent, yes.
Some of the Garagiste wines in Bordeaux and in other places in France.
Right, and what about the wines from Puglia? All of those Primitivos and Negro Amaros, Meow.
See. So what about the other side of the coin?
More subtle
wines from the New World.
I think California is starting to make a lot of very subtle, fabulous wines. I think they are starting to react to this stereotype that California wines are so powerful you're asleep before you have dinner.
And certainly Oregon would be sort of the first New World area that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of New Zealand, too. This leads us to our next dichotomy. Oak is bad and stainless is good. That very pedantically. I think in the way that certain styles have run rampant, the oaked Chardonnay, for instance, that we automatically dismiss them. But we forget that many classic wines, Bordeaux, Burgundy, are aged in oak, and they are aged judiciously, with a tempered hand. And stainless became the reaction to the over-oaked. Oh, we have to have stainless this and stainless that. And stainless does produce a very clean finish, but it can also produce a very cold wine and not give that depth and that warmth.
You know, back in the day, cement tanks in places like Burgundy were used to make wine, and then it came totally out of fashion, and people said, oh, that's, you know, absurd, let's use stainless steel. Cement eggs are coming back, and people are starting to use that substance again because it imparts a really interesting and unique flavor. So I think wine, like everything else, is not immune to fashion.
Right, right. And we're talking about quality and not fads.
Exactly.
Our last myth that we're going to talk about today is the myth that you have to drink wine out of a proper glass.
Ooh, this is an interesting subject. Mr. Riedel would love to dispute this with you. I think, like so many things, we follow Rabbi Hillel and we take a middle path with this one. On the one hand, you do want some nice, decent glasses to drink. And I think you do want kind of a white wine glass and a red wine glass. And
why?
Well, I want something that I can really get my nose into with a red wine glass and something where that red wine can breathe and something a little bit smaller and more like a coupe for a white wine glass. However, you can drink white wine out of the red wine glass. I think it's harder to drink red wine out of the white wine glass is my theory on this. And if I have those two, I'm very happy.
Right. It's funny that we're just talking about fads, and I was reading in one of the cooking magazines how champagne coupes are making a comeback after years and years of hearing that you have to have a flute because it channels the bubbles in a better way. Who's to say what's right? But I know I would enjoy my Bollinger, whether it was in a coupe or a flute.
Touché. For Word on Wine, I'm Jonathan Pilewski.
And I'm Mary Zajac.
Cheers.